Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You want to see Loco?
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is!
The local hour of the Hawk and Crowder Show, brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. Alex Dono and Alex Solana with you. So this will be our last show for the week. We're going to have just a gigantic best of tomorrow with some of the greatest segments in Hawk and Crowder history. Solana and I will hold it down until 6 o'clock today with a little help from our friends. Dan Day back in studio. Jay Figg is going to join us. We're actually going to have Jay Figg's Searing Pain movie review mid-show today. We're going to mix it up. Around 4:15, we're going to have Jay Figg on assignment. And I'm pretty sure we all know what she watched yesterday, Solana, because we gave her a unanimous suggestion. So unless Jay Figg refused to do her homework, I'm pretty sure she watched Blues Brothers, right?
I guess so. She hasn't posted her movie review yet, Dono, but I am so ecstatic to hear her rip on Blues Brothers and just trigger you. Like, I cannot wait.
Thing is, like, I realized I was very surprised that even Hawk, who was texting you guys yesterday, said that he doesn't think the movie holds up. It got me thinking because I haven't actually watched Blues Brothers in probably 15 years. And I didn't watch it last night along with Jay Figg. So maybe I should have also done my homework and rewatched it to see if it holds up because I haven't thought about that before. So I don't know. I think I'm going into this one at 4:15 fully expecting Jay Figg to trash Blues Brothers. Solana, what's the worst rating out of 10 mozzarella sticks she's ever given a movie? Because, like, imagine if she pulls, like, a 0 out of 10 for Blues Brothers. What do you think is the least she's ever given a movie?
I think she – I gave her Les Miserables a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and Dono, I'm a big show tunes kind of guy. I love Broadway musicals.
Man.
And Les Miserables just exudes culture. I know Dan Day knows what I'm talking about.
Culture.
And, she gave it like a 3 out of 10. Jay Figg, not down with the musicals, unfortunately.
Are you excited for Hamilton? It's going to be streaming on Disney Plus starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Have you ever seen, like, I've never seen Hamilton because A, I hate musicals, and B, I think tickets in New York are like $1,000.
Ridiculous.
Like,
ridiculous.
I've never actually seen it.
Yeah, the tickets are like stupid expensive. They have been since it came out and how popular it was. And I remember being in New York trying to get tickets for like a matinee, and each ticket was north of a G. So it just didn't make sense.
Oh,
yeah, it didn't make sense.
For a matinee.
For
Jesus.
A matinee, yeah.
Oh, man. So we're going to have Jay Figg on assignment later in the show. We're going to have some really good best of some Into the Archive segments with Hawk and Crowder. And since we talked a lot of food on the show yesterday, going to be food-related best ofs. Later this hour, you'll have Aronde Gadsden weighing in on Kirkland brand products. I remember that clip, and it's fantastic. In the 3 o'clock hour, we'll have a step into the archives about sports bars, which, God, I miss going to sports bars so much. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, everyone's Mount Rushmore of cookies. I look forward to that one as well. So in about 15 minutes, Solana and I are going to chat with Stefano Fusaro from ESPN. You probably remember Stefano. He used to work in TV down here. A really good guy, does great work now for ESPN. And he is the only ESPN reporter who's in the MLS bubble. Because remember, it's very limited, right? I mean, every team has a limited traveling party. Every media outlet has an extremely limited presence, if any. Like, a lot of media members just cannot find space in the bubble to go. So ESPN was allowed one reporter in the Disney Orlando MLS bubble, and Stefano Fusaro is that man, and he's going to join us at, you know, around 2:15 today. And I'm starting to get a little worried. Maybe we'll get more on this in Dan Day's headlines, but several FC Dallas players and a member of their coaching staff have tested positive for COVID-19. And then I also saw on Stefano's Twitter account, he's there reporting on the scene, that the Columbus Crew, their traveling group, is now quarantined because they had a positive test. And we're on the clock here, right? We're 6 days away from the start of the MLS's back tournament. And man, I've been looking forward to this since it was announced. You know, I am a lifelong Inter Miami fan, been a fan of theirs, you know, for like 7 years, ever since David Beckham announced, you know, that he had the rights to start this franchise. I can't wait for this tournament. And, you know, obviously with some of these positive tests and quarantine situations popping up, it gets me just a little bit worried as to whether or not we're going to see this thing come to pass. But before we have a couple of other topics to get to, let's bring in Dan Day for headlines. Dan?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Reporting on Inter Miami CF, they are now in the Orlando bubble. No positive test for COVID-19, and they are scheduled to open the MLS is back tournament Wednesday at 8 against Orlando City SC.
That lifelong rivalry, Solana, between Inter Miami and Orlando City. And listen, it's certainly encouraged. So, I mean, Inter had previously had a positive test, so I guess positive test, but I guess everybody's negative now, which is good. And, you know, fingers crossed, we get to see, you know, a week from yesterday, that opener between Inter Miami and Orlando City.
The NFL, as we spoke yesterday, has trimmed the preseason to 2 games. Teams can expect to have a home and away game, so Miami waits to hear who they will officially play.
Oh, yeah, because the 2 games that they have still on the preseason schedule against Philly and against Detroit were in the previous version of the schedule, those were both home games.
Right.
So now I'm thinking, yeah, Dan, they're going to mix it up and probably have one home and one away. Although Trey Wingo apparently said on Golic and Wingo this morning that he doesn't have any inside info on this, but he is expecting, in his opinion, that the NFL could end up canceling the entire preseason, you know, with these COVID-19 concerns, just so they can make sure they kind of keep everybody, you know, away from each other until the regular season begins on September 10th. I wonder, because losing a preseason completely, I mean, I'm fine with shortening it from 4 games to 2 games, but if you eliminate the entire preseason, it's going to be harder to make your roster cuts. You know, players aren't going to have the chance to go out there and get into game shape by playing some preseason. And, you know, preseason, I think, would have given us a really good idea. Once you get through a couple of preseason games, then you can kind of see if players from, you know, the 2 different teams are spreading the virus to one another, whether or not that's happening. And it could be a good barometer for the regular season. So, man, I don't know if canceling the entire preseason would be a good idea. So we'll see it. We'll see if they actually go through with that or not.
Dono, that would be unprecedented, correct? And you would know, you'd know better than I. I mean, in my 26 years of life, I can't recall an NFL season, and I know there was a lockout. I can't remember when, but I know there was a lockout. But I can't remember a preseason just being canceled with in its entirety. Like, I think that would be unprecedented in the NFL. And again, Trey Wingo, obviously more connected than I am, but I can't see 0 preseason games happening. Like, you have to at least give these guys, especially now that they've, what, been 4 months without contact, or at least they're not supposed to be having contact, just throw them out there into a 100% live action NFL game. Like, that seems to be a recipe for disaster.
Dono, this one's all you. Goran Dragic says the NBA's COVID-19 testing is not a pleasant thing to do.
Yes, thank you. So people are so split on this. And maybe anyone out there who's listening to this who has been tested before, you could text us at 786-360-0790, 786-360-0790. About 6 weeks ago, my wife and I got tested. We were both negative, but we did the drive-through testing where they stick the swabs up your nostrils. And it was not only one of the most uncomfortable medical tests I've ever gone through, I found it painful, and my wife found it to be painful. I think it might depend on who's doing the swabbing, right? If you have somebody who's particularly gentle, then maybe it's not so bad. But like, I was violated by that swab. Like the lady who performed my swab was angry that day, man. It was a really unpleasant experience. And then I was asking some people about it on social media back then, and it was pretty split. Like half the people said, "Oh yeah, it was terrible. Like I it made me tear up a little bit because it's so uncomfortable." Then the other half, the people said, "Oh, it wasn't a big deal." Like I think it depends on who's doing the swabbing, but I'd love to know from anyone else who has gotten the test. Let me know if Goran Dragic and I cannot be the only ones who think it's an incredibly uncomfortable experience.
Dono, don't you have a little audio from Goran telling us that it's not a pleasant thing to do, the COVID-19 testing?
Oh, listen. I had they stick swab all the way up nostril. Back in Slovenia, this is how we say hello. But I thought coming to America, it would be different. You don't have swab at nostril anymore. This is an awful experience. I hope never go through it again.
Your Slovenian and Russian sound eerily similar, Dono, I must say.
Well, I mean, Solana, listen to a Slovenian person talk and then a Russian person talk, and you tell me if you can tell the difference, because I sure as hell can.
You just do an Eastern European accent. I think we'll broaden the paintbrush here. You're not really a Russian impersonator. You're just more of an Eastern European European impersonator.
I mean, it's a very versatile accent. It could be Ukrainian. It could be Croatian. Yeah. It could be Slovenian. It could be Russian. It's a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
I love it. And with that being said, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. A loose pig caused a traffic jam on I-95 in Virginia.
Whoa. You know, I've driven through Virginia before, and parts of it get so rural, it's almost frightening for a city boy like me. Solana, when I was about 20, this was the year that Dan Marino got inducted into the Hall of Fame in Canton, and two buddies of mine and me decided, why fly to Canton when we can drive to Canton, Ohio? And we drove through rural Virginia like late at night, and we stopped off to get like some dinner at a Hardee's, and we felt like the people there thought we were radioactive, like these really small town bumpkin country folk. Like I'm a city boy. I was just not used to it. And so the idea of pigs causing traffic jams on the road in rural Virginia sounds about right to me.
That sounds awful. Like the worst decision you've ever made, Dono, by the way. Driving through rural Virginia. I can't think of anything I'd rather not do than do that.
West Virginia.
The worst, though. Yes, West Virginia. Yeah. And Dan's true. Right, because so we were in regular Virginia at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then, you know, I don't know how long it takes to get there from there to West Virginia. But when we were driving through West Virginia, middle of the night, couldn't see a thing. It was dark. It was raining. And we're on those winding mountain roads. And we were actually driving in a minivan. I nearly crashed it like 5 times in the rain in the mountains. It was brutal.
You have to look at the silver lining of the situation, though. Drivers could literally mean it when they yell, "Get off the road, you stupid pig!"
Well done. Oh, Dan Day, rare form. By the way, this a great text. We're supposed to listen to the guy that cries during Back to the Future on whether or not the test is invasive. I cried more at the end of Back to the Future Part 3 than I did when they were swabbing my nostrils. So don't worry, it wasn't quite that bad. Is that all, Dan? Any weather or anything?
Weather. Is there a dust plume tracking we have?
Gotta get to it.
Tracking. The Saharan dust plume. Can't go to the beach this weekend, so you don't have to worry as much about the dust plume.
Yeah. Good point, Dan.
That's a great point.
Excellent point, Dan. Yeah,
Dan is on point with
that. I didn't go to meteorology school like Solana and Julie Derta, but I try.
Did he say meteorology?
Yeah.
Like it sounded
meteorology?
Like
meteorology?
What did Dan say? What was it 2 days
Authoritarian.
Ago? Authoritarian.
Authoritarian.
Arthurtarian.
Because he was writing about wheat and people that grew wheat, yeah. But he's also author. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. authoritarian.
Oh, man. Good stuff there from Dan Day. All right. When we come back, we are going to step into the MLS bubble. Stefano Fusaro is the only ESPN reporter inside the bubble in Orlando covering the MLS. He's going to take some time out of his busy day to join us when we return here on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Give me the MLS song.
This is the song Don Garber has sex to.
You want to see Loco?
Dono and Solana in for Hawk and Crowder today. We're going to go out to the guest line, the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood. It's on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. I'm really looking forward to chatting with this man. He is the only ESPN reporter inside the Orlando bubble for the MLS Is Back tournament. Of course, you know him and you love him from his days in South Florida, doing big things now at ESPN. Stefano Fusaro joins us. Stefano, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you guys.
It's our pleasure, man. And there's a lot going on. I mean, can you give me the latest, Stefano, on, you know, the COVID-19 concerns there? As I see a lot of positive tests for FC Dallas and the Columbus Crew quarantined. What's the latest, and is there any concern about this thing maybe not starting as scheduled?
Well, as of now, the MLS has no plans to cancel this tournament. They are moving forward. We have confirmed this morning through reporting myself and my colleague Jeff Carlisle. We confirmed that Columbus Crew had a positive test yesterday. And since then, they have had done additional testing to everyone on that traveling team for Columbus. And they have quarantined themselves until those test results come back later tonight. FC Dallas, the 9 players and 1 coach that tested positive, have been taken to a complete separate wing of the hotel here in Disney World, the Swan and Dolphin Hotel, which is where the bubble is. It's only MLS officials, team, staff, media on this property. They've been moved to a complete separate side of the hotel, quarantined and isolated, and they'll continue to get tested every single day rather than the every other day that everybody in the bubble is subjected to, including myself.
Yeah, Stefano, and you're there. Like, you're going to be in the bubble for the entire MLS Is Back tournament. Do you think the MLS was either A, expecting this to happen so early on into this experiment, and B, were they prepared for this to kind of happen, you know, all the spikes in cases as soon as everybody entered the bubble?
Yeah, they definitely didn't expect it to happen so quickly. I can – just speaking to – different MLS officials and PR officials as well, they did not expect it to happen this quickly. But I think that there was always an idea, and there was always, I think, a certainty that there was going to be positive tests here. Now, I do commend the MLS because they are being pretty transparent as far as releasing data of the tests that are being done here every other day via a release to the media. So I do give them credit there. Also, I'll be honest, I don't feel unsafe. Everything is marked pretty well around here as far as there is hand sanitizer. There is social distancing signs everywhere you go. Our masks do not come off while we are on the property. So I don't feel unsafe. But then again, there are a lot of concerns. I just literally maybe 5 minutes ago finished an interview with Tyler Miller of Minnesota United, and he flat out told me there's a lot of concern. We don't know what to expect. The uncertainty is what's getting to us. So there are troubled and they are worried as far as going forward, but they understand that if they follow the protocols, the idea is to stay with your team, stay with your own teammates. So if there is a positive test, they can kind of narrow it down to one team, which is what happened in the case of FC Dallas.
Good stuff here from Stefano Fusaro. He joins us from the Orlando bubble in the Disney Swan and Dolphin for the MLS Is Back tournament. On a more humorous note, Stefano, what can you tell us about those box lunches? Because we all saw that picture go viral a few days ago of the very expensive Fire Festival type of box. Because I got to think there's better places to eat at the Swan and Dolphin. What was that about?
So, and I get it, and it was hysterical. I laughed just as much as any of you did when I saw that picture go viral. The funny one little note about that, The picture that went viral was from Omar Gonzalez, who is a defender for Toronto. He wasn't even here yet when he tweeted that photo.
Oh.
So he got it from a teammate. That's number one. Number two, yes, the box lunches was not the box lunches are not good. But we were only subjected to that menu our first day on the property when we were quarantined after our first test. After those first initial 12 hours, you have there is a plethora of options for you to be able to, for anybody here in the bubble to be able to eat. So yes, it wasn't good, but they don't have to eat that every single day. That's not what MLS is feeding their players, that pretty not good sandwich that was in that box. So yeah.
And
by the way,
it
was $65.
Oh, wow. And what actually was the sandwich? Because I couldn't tell from the photo. Was that like chicken salad? Like, what was that?
There was three options were chicken salad, ham, or turkey. I'll be honest, man. I had the turkey one, and it wasn't great, but it wasn't awful. I mean, it's the same. If anybody in the media could tell you, you get those boxed lunches when you're covering some major events around the country, right? Whatever sporting events, you get those boxed lunches. And, yeah, they're not great, but they're not terrible. That one picture that was out there, though, I'm glad I just didn't get the ham sandwich, because I think that was the ham sandwich in that photo, and did not look good. So I'm glad I made the right choice with turkey.
Stefano, I know you toured the bubble yesterday. You mentioned it at the Disney Swan and Dolphins Resort. By the way, you can see Stefano's reporting of his tour on his Twitter account at Fusaro ESPN. First of all, what stood out to you as you toured? I saw some interesting setups for the players to be working out. They're basically working out in ballrooms. But I don't know if you saw DeMar DeRozan the Spurs. He kind of was mocking the ping pong rules, that they can't do doubles ping pong, and he thought it was ridiculous or whatever. Like, are there any rules that you've read so far for the MLS's back tournament that you kind of scratch your head at and you're like, all right, come on?
I mean, look, they're doing their best, and I got to credit them. They're trying their best to keep everyone at a proper distance. But I mean, you got these athletes with a lot of free time on their hands after training, and it's tough, right? So I'm looking out my window right now in my hotel room, and I can see all over the property different games set up. There's a soccer pool set up, a soccer table tennis set up, a cornhole, different things. No doubles for any of that. It has to be one-on-one for everything. So that was kind of interesting. But again, I understand it. I can't really say I'm scratching my head, because they're trying as best as they can to keep it as safe as possible, right? So it is kind of funny to see that and see those signs that are up there, singles games only, and please sanitize all the equipment when you're done. And they have set up little sanitizing stations for all the equipment. So, look, yeah, it's interesting to see, but I won't say I scratch my head, because I give them props. They're at least trying their best to keep this as contained as possible.
Do you know if people were allowed, or the players were allowed, to bring their own, like, gaming systems, PlayStations, to play FIFA? Because, you know, like, they're going to want to play FIFA, and I don't know how sanitary it is for everybody to be sharing the same controllers.
So not only did the players bring their gaming consoles, but certain reporters also brought their
games. Oh, yes! Good move, Stefano.
Absolutely. So it's funny, right? Because, yeah, a lot of them talk about FIFA, but I, again, in this last interview I just did a few minutes ago with two Minnesota United players, both of them mentioned Warzone, Call of Duty, which I'm also a big fan of.
That's fair.
I mean, that's what they're doing. I think a lot of them were like, hey, after training, we don't really want to be outside in 90-degree heat. So they're coming inside and said, yeah, we're playing some Warzone. That's what we're doing. And I think there's going to be actually a players tournament, a Warzone players tournament inside the bubble. I'm trying to infiltrate that. So I'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, just make sure you do the update, because it seems like there's a new update that takes up more space every single day. I spent 8 hours updating my PlayStation yesterday. It's so ridiculous.
It was like, it's like 170 gig. It's ridiculous, but I'll take it. It's a great game.
I only have FIFA and Warzone on my PlayStation now, because I just don't have space for anything else. It's getting ridiculous with these updates.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing. All I got is FIFA and Warzone. That's all we got. So I'm definitely, that's my downtime too.
Stefano Fusaro from ESPN is with us here on Hawk and Crowder. So I think I could speak for Solana when I say we're both really excited to see what Inter Miami can do in this tournament. What's your outlook? I mean, I love the way the squad is constructed. Obviously, we've only seen them play twice, and it was a very, very long time ago. You know, what do you make of their Group A, and kind of what are you expecting from Inter in this tournament?
Well, they're in the best. They're in the most fun group. That's for sure. It's going to be. All the games are going to be interesting. Eastern Conference opponents, obviously, starting off against Orlando, will be fun. I spoke to, I was on Taylor Twellman's show the other day, and I what I said is, from the entire field, I expect rust. And I expect rust from Inter Miami as well. You saw it in some of the European leagues, right? In England and Germany, saw some rust to kind of get started. And I expect to see the same thing from Miami. But I will say this, in a tournament like this, it's really about who's hot at the right time. And if they can get out to a good start against Orlando, there's already a lot of, on social media, believe it or not, when I was posting Inter Miami videos of Inter Miami arriving, I already got a ton of Orlando City fans showing the hate. So I expect all the Inter Miami fans, all my hometown boys, all you guys over there, I expect you to get on that social media and respond back and do what you do best. But if Miami does get off to a good start against a team like Orlando, I think it could really propel them and give them that momentum to move forward. In a tournament like this, where every game is extremely important, I do believe that any team can win this, any team, especially after two games, and we really haven't seen a whole lot. And a lot of these players, the ones who didn't make the playoffs last year, they haven't played. They've been out of the field for five of the last 7 months.
Right.
So, there's going to be rust. And because of that, I really feel any team has a shot to win.
So, Stefano, you mentioned Orlando City fans kind of talking a little smack. And here on the Hawk and Crowder Show, Dono and I especially, we've been hyping up this Inter-Miami-Orlando rivalry. And I know there is no rivalry. Like, we know that they haven't even faced each other yet. Like, Inter has only played two games. There is no true rivalry. But do you sense that, like, the players are going into this kind of with the mindset of a Sunshine State rivalry? Like, even though we're clear, it doesn't exist. I think the fan base is desperate for a rivalry regardless. Like, you think we'll see some red cards, some aggressive play at the start with the idea that this is the battle for Florida?
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like if there's anything in this type of environment, if there's anything to motivate them, I think that they will take it. I know for a fact that – I will say I know for a fact. I would be shocked if Diego Alonso doesn't use that, head coach of Inter Miami, doesn't use that as motivation for his guys.
Right.
I mean, the social media talk's out there, so people are already seeing that. Players are seeing that as well, let's be real. But, yeah, man. I mean, I do expect there to be maybe a little bit of fireworks. It's the first game back, so I think they're trying to get their feet under them. But I'd say this, the first hard challenge or first big tackle, I would expect there to be just a little bit of animosity with that other team. So it'll be fun. I mean, look, that's what we all want to see, right? We want to see this rivalry. We want to see it bud into something where, I don't want to use the word hate, but at least a very strong dislike for one another.
No,
I think
no,
that'd be
go
fun.
Ahead. Go ahead. Use hate. Hate. Because we've been hating on Orlando City, man. Use hate.
I love it.
So, Stefano, I agree with you when you said that there's not, a clear favorite in this tournament, that it's somewhat wide open. But if you had to pick a favorite, and maybe a favorite and a co-favorite, who would you go with?
It's tough, but I would say, and this might shock some people, maybe some casual fans, but I do think NYCFC has a very under-the-radar, solid team. They have a brand-new coach that they've responded to well by all accounts. I would say put them up there as well. And from the Western Conference, I would immediately have said LAFC, but there's a very, very big chance that Carlos Vela most likely is not going to be here. I guess I'm going to have to go with Seattle. They got the experience. They are the defending champions, and I do expect them to come strong in this tournament.
Tremendous stuff, and everyone needs to be following Stefano. If you're a soccer fan, an MLS fan, he is the guy with the inside scoop on everything going on in the Orlando bubble. He's at Fusaro ESPN. Stefano, can't thank you enough, my man, and enjoy the PlayStation.
Absolutely. That I will do. I promise you that. Take care,
awesome
guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff, man, and great info. Great info. A lot to unpack from that. Alex Dono and Alex Solana in for Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
La vaca, the cow, survives the milking. I don't think an almond does. I think an almond, once you milk it, that's it.
And it's probably sad.
It gotta be sad.
All right, so, I mean, Solana, I don't know what your traditions are on July 4th. We did talk a little bit about what's on the Solana family menu yesterday, but are you like me, where a big part of the holiday not only is, eating just crazy amounts of grilled food,
But, you know, also sitting down and watching a couple movies or watching a lot of TV. Like, I watch the hot dog eating contest every year. I know you do as well. Are you a movie guy on the 4th of July?
I am, Dono. I feel like every big holiday you have to watch a movie or else that holiday was not complete. You have to, at some point, you're just, you're stuffed from eating too much food. You kind of sit down on the couch, you kick your feet up. You're really comfortable, and you watch a good movie. I think that's every holiday you have to do that.
Yeah, I watch one to two movies every year on the 4th without question. So I have compiled my list of top five 4th of July movies. Now, I ordered mine. Like, I put mine in order. So let me start with number five and work my way up to number one. Number five... National Treasure. Now, it's not that heavy in my rotation, but I'm a big Nicolas Cage fan, believe it or not.
Love it.
And it has kind of a nice mix of, like, patriotism and American history. So National Treasure, to me, like, I think that's a good 4th of July movie. Yeah. My number four, it's hard to believe this is not higher on the list, but my number four is Top Gun. I mean, some of Tom Cruise's finest work. Did the Top Gun sequel, did that already come out? Did I miss that? I never saw it.
I'm pretty sure it already was released. I just don't think anybody watched it, or I don't think anybody cared about it. Yeah.
You don't want it to ruin the original.
Yeah.
That's a good point, man, because the original is so good. Like, it's hard to imagine, like, they make a sequel, like, 25, 30 years later, whatever it is, and expect it to hold up to the original. All right, my number three... There's something, even though it's not directly a patriotic film, I find something patriotic of the whole against all odds, come from behind type of story. Maybe it reminds me of that little old group of colonies that fought off the British later to become the United States of America. But I have Rocky as number three on my list.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, surprise number three on that list, Dono.
Because I don't know if they still do it, but I think AMC used to run like a marathon of Rocky movies on July 4th. I think I looked for it one of the last couple of years. They didn't have it, but they used to run that. So I associate Rocky with the 4th of July for reasons that are not incredibly clear, but I think that's a good time to watch it. All right, we're getting into the hot zone here. Number two. Independence Day.
Yes.
Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, kicking some alien ass. I mean, listen.
Bill Pullman, right?
Yes. I mean, the speech.
The speech. Ooh. The speech.
And there's something. And that movie was like totally shameless because they knew when they made it, like they're saying, oh, this is going to be a July 4th staple for like the next 100 years. And they made the movie for that reason. But it works. It's effective. Which leads me to my number one. There can be only one. Jaws.
Wow. Jaws. Where'd that come from?
It's set around the 4th of July. Like, a whole big theme of the movie is, this almost kind of reminds you of things happening in the world today, but the mayor of Amity Island wanted to keep the beaches open for July 4th, despite the fact that there was a man-eating killer shark on the loose, and he did not listen to the chief of police, who said, we cannot open the beaches. There is a shark on the loose. And Amity ended up paying the price for it, man. And there's something, and Jaws, I think they're like every channel marathons Jaws movies on the 4th of July. Knowing Solana, he probably thought Jaws 3 was the best. But no, the original Jaws is the quintessential 4th of July movie. If probably 25 out of the last 27 4th of Julys, I have watched the movie Jaws. I love it. And July 4th is the best day to watch it.
All right. I think that's a strong list, Dono. I think you brought to the table five movies that I would have no problem watching on July 4th. Dan, what do you think about Dono's list?
A lot of wild cards in there. I didn't expect a couple of those Jaws and Rocky, but for the most part, I really can't complain. That's after eating all the hot dogs and putting all that, I guess, pork and raccoon meat or whatever is in hot dogs. Sitting down.
What kind of hot dogs are you eating, Dan?
I was about to ask. Like,
hot dogs are just an amalgamation of the whatever's on the cutting room floor. So there could be raccoon, possum, pig, cow, I don't even know, pigeon in there, man. All so right. You put all that in there, I could watch any of those movies at the end of the day when I'm kind of just vegging out.
Okay.
I think Dan Day makes his own hot dogs out of roadkill. Like at the end of the week, every animal Dan has run over gets ground up in a hot dog mix.
It's cheaper that way.
So,
Solana.
All right, let's do it. And Dono, I loved your list. I think it pales in comparison to my list. I'll start off with number five. I'm going National Treasure 2. No.
I didn't even know there was a 2. There's a 2?
Yeah, no. National Treasure 2, really? Yeah, was definitely the best National Treasure that has been released thus far. National Treasure, God. Book of Secrets. It's the most patriotic one as well. They end up at Mount Rushmore. I mean, National Treasure, Book of Secrets, the best one that's been released thus far, Dono. I want to preface that. That's been released thus far. Number four on my list. American Pie.
You know what? That's not a bad call. I don't directly associate that with July 4th, but I love that movie. That I can watch that any day. So I'm not going to criticize American Pie.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with July 4th, but it has America in the title, so I think it fits.
And pie. A lot of people eat pie on the 4th of July.
Right. Oh. I mean, I think it fits. Number three on my list, guys. Hancock.
Oh. Is that the I never saw that, but is that the one where he's like a drunk superhero?
Yeah, Hancock, drunk superhero, nothing more American than a drunk superhero. And I gotta be honest, I think Hancock is often disrespected as one of the greatest superhero movies of all time. I mean, I think it needs to be up there with the Batmans, with the Robins, with the Avengers. Robins. Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be up there. Hancock, a banger of a film. We're up against
Dan, have you seen Hancock? I've never seen it.
I think it's respected right where it's at.
No, we're up against it. We don't have time for Dan Day to interject here. Number two on my list, guys. Independence Day.
I mean, yeah. I can't. I'm surprised you didn't go with the sequel.
Yeah, The Speech. I see somebody's already upset with National Treasure, with Hancock. That's fine. I think you're all going to love my number one movie to watch on July 4th, guys.
I'm shaking.
National Treasure 3. It hasn't been released yet. It hasn't been released yet, to be fair, but the only way you can get more patriotic with Nicolas Cage in a movie is National Treasure 3, the third edition. The third time is always the best in any series, in any trilogy. I'm confident National Treasure 3 will be the greatest 4th of July movie of all time.
Is that even in production?
I'm not sure, but I know it's coming at some point. I know it's coming. That's been confirmed. So National Treasure 3 is my favorite movie to watch on July 4th.
I mean, what is more American than a money grab, I guess?
Right. Do we have time for a quick Dan Day list?
Yeah, I think we have time for a quick Dan Day list.
All right, we're going to go number five. Forrest Gump. Oh, I'm...
I got to wait. I think we already know, but yeah.
Forrest Gump, An American Story.
Solid.
Yep, strong.
Number four. What's more American than baseball? Bull Durham.
Oh, good one. Very good one.
And now, the final three, for some reason I associate, I don't know why, I do know why, I associate 4th of July American Independence with the Vietnam War. And I'm guessing because growing up, I always saw a lot of Vietnam veterans on the 4th of July, and my mom always made me go say thank you so much because she felt as though they didn't get enough respect coming back from the war that was so unpopular. So my final three have something to do with the Vietnam War. So number three, Apocalypse Now.
I really like that movie.
Great movie.
I don't associate the Vietnam War with 4th of July like you do, but I do love Apocalypse Now.
Number two. Gotta go Kubrick, baby. Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Love it. Strong. Strong.
Love it.
And number one. Born on the 4th of July.
I knew that was coming. You know, I've never seen it. That's with Tom. What is it? Tom neither. Cruise is a Vietnam vet in that movie. I never actually saw it.
Yeah, never seen it.
Okay.
Never
powerful films. It. I left Independence Day off. I figured you guys would cover that, so I went with my own little unique take with baseball and basically the Vietnam War.
All right, so we're gonna have Jay Fing on for a searing pain movie review. Plus, there's a movie that I think all of us missed on our list. I'll tell you what that is as well next here on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
It's Figgy!
Cinema! J. Fig knows it.
Hey, guys. I didn't know you guys were there. Caught me by surprise.
Watch one that we assign her. And generally hate it, and it sends us all into a depression for at least a segment or two.
I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Like, it has, like, real-life situations and stuff, but I felt like the ending should have been in the middle.
Chicks dig me, because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
I don't know, I was kind of irritated the entire time.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Rhodes, when we're dying, we don't need... Rose.
Biggie Fresh.
The f***ing Catalina wine mixer.
I really want to give it like a 9.5 out of 10.
And it sends us all into a depression.
Show me the money.
He's looking at you, kid.
I'll be back.
We'll see you at the movies.
So on this pre-4th of July edition, we're mixing it up. We're having Jay Fig on in the 4 o'clock hour. Woo! Jay Fig, how you doing?
Excellent.
Do you have any 4th of July plans?
No.
I mean, it's probably the right answer because, like, I don't know, any of the fun stuff we could
home.
Do. Right, exactly.
In my pool. Social distancing from
that's
people.
That's good. Yeah, like a month ago, you know, right when things were like starting to open up, a good friend of mine had sent like invites to people. Like he was planning on like having like a mini party at his house, but yeah, about a week ago he announced it was officially canceled based on, you know, all the positive tests and the numbers going up. So staying at home and hanging out at your pool is the right answer. Now, Figgy, before we get to your movie review and the suggestion for some searing pain, Solana.
Oh, searing pain! Absolute searing pain!
My bad.
Oh, man. So Jay Fig, you heard how Dan, Solana, and I, we ranked our top five 4th of July movies. Have you compiled the list?
Of course I have. I heard, and I thought they were excellent, and I had to contribute.
Okay, so why don't you give us your list, starting, of course, with number 5, working your way to number 1.
All right, give me a drum roll, please. Number 5 is The Addams Family.
On July 4th? Are you just naming movies?
They are the family of America.
I like it. I like it,
It would be
actually.
A better place if we just were like them.
I like it, but Dono, I wish you could have seen Dan Day's reaction. And this is no bit, no joke. Like, Dan Day, I'm looking. I can see him right. He's not even looking at me.
I mean,
the second he heard Addams Family, he just shook his head in... the like just with disgust, like he is so
that's
disappointed.
Why.
I love it though,
Jason. Why? Yeah.
Classic. I grew up watching these. I want to be happy on 4th of July.
I love it.
I mean, a couple of the movies on my list had like a very loose correlation with July 4th, but Jay Fig has taken a lot of liberties with the Addams Family. I mean, dare I ask you even continue with number 4?
Of course. Give me another drum roll. The Fifth Element.
It doesn't even take place on Earth, let alone America.
Even better. We don't want to be on Earth right now.
Good point. I like it.
You know what? Yeah. I'll let her have that one.
No drum roll anymore.
Excellent.
You earn the drum roll next time.
I like where J-Fig's going with this.
Fifth Element is a good movie.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I loved watching it growing up. All right. Third.
Take the drum roll.
Avengers Endgame.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I mean, they do save the world, and that includes America.
And
so,
we need
and Captain America.
Captain America.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. There you go.
All right. I'll let it go.
51st dates.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Come on.
I like it. I like it.
A fig dipping into the bag of bits. I love it. I love it, right?
I gotta like pay some tribute to you somehow.
Yeah, I like it. 51st Dates, by the way, takes place in the United States. Very American movie, I would say.
We want to forget and, every single day.
Right, and not only that.
We're supposed to be celebrating our country, not knocking it.
No, but hold on a second. Hold on a second. Adam Sandler in 51st Dates sings the Beach Boys. I think it's very Americana. Huh. I got to be honest.
That's so American. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm so afraid to hear your number one, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm so excited. My favorite movie of all time, Mars Attacks.
I mean, well, you know what? They do save the Earth, but I mean, the Earth was on the brink of elimination, and somehow that's a 4th of July movie?
I'm obsessed with that movie, so yes, I am claiming it a 4th of July movie.
Can you make the sound that the aliens make in that movie?
I want to, but I'm not going to.
Please. Well, I can't remember. Is it like, black, black, or something like, quack, quack?
Something like that, yes. Love that movie. It's my favorite movie.
All right, J-Fig. All right. All right, so... it was pretty straightforward, your assignment for last night. We actually unanimously gave you Blues Brothers because it was really to settle a debate because Solana, how long ago was it, Solana, that you watched Blues Brothers? Because I grew up watching it, but you watched it for the first time as an adult, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I'd say within the past, like maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years, I watched Blues Brothers. It was just on, and I've been to Universal Studios. I've seen, you know, like the characters who pretend they're the Blues Brothers. I've seen some of the classic SNL bits on YouTube. So I was pretty familiar with the Blues Brothers, and I know that it is a cult classic. People love the Blues Brothers, that classic movie from the 80s. So I went in, Dono, with expectations through the roof, and I think it was the worst movie. And this is, again, not bag of bits. I'm not trolling. I thought it was one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
So after Solana revealed that, we all, Dan, Solana, and I, unanimously assigned J-Fig, because I want to see if her review matches up with Solana. So J-Fig, what did you think of Blues Brothers, and what is your rating out of 10 mozzarella sticks?
So I never thought the day would come where I would agree with Solana.
Whoa!
I knew it.
Whoa!
I'm so
this
proud of
this movie is so unrealistic, and the only thing classic about it is the fact that Aretha Franklin was there and Ray Charles.
Well, Mars Attack is a very realistic film, so I see why.
It is. Absolutely is.
Hold on, the fifth element. Let her rant on Blues Brothers. Go ahead, Figgy.
This is a different genre, okay, Dande? I don't even want to talk about this movie. Like, the weapons that this Princess Leia uses look like they weigh 2 pounds. No, not 2 pounds. Sorry, 2 ounces. And I can't.
That's a good point. Donna, you have to give her credit there, right? Like, at one point, the Blues Brothers, and I'm forgetting their names. It's escaping my mind. But they're running through a city.
It's like Elwood and...
Right. Like, they're running...
And Jay.
They're running through a city with what appears to be, like, these AK-47s or whatever. And they're just holding them they're holding a child's toy.
Like a Mars Attacks weapon.
Right. And I get it's supposed to be, like a spoof, and it's not supposed to be taken seriously. But what's happening is they're literally terrorizing a city. I mean, the National Guard has been deployed on them.
With the fakest car chase ever.
Right. And they're like, there's TNT exploding everywhere. They've ran through a mall. They've ransacked a mall. They've committed every crime possible in the book.
Yeah.
It is just not, it just doesn't hold up. It's not funny. I don't get it.
All right, J-Fig, what's the rating then?
I gave it 4 out of 10 mozzarella sticks.
Okay, I don't understand like how you even go that like after what you said about the movie, like how is this not like a 0 or a 1? Like, what's the rationale for 4?
Music.
The Blues. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
So better than Les Mis is what you're saying? Les Mis.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I hate you.
Anything is better. Like Jay Fick, I'm with you on that one. I watched like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, we had one of our famous family movie nights where if it's a good movie, I'll cry at the end. Or one time we watched Les Mis and I couldn't get through it. Like it was painful. It was like the only good thing about that movie, I think, was Sacha Baron Cohen. But everything else, especially Russell Crowe, who cannot hit a note to save his life, painful, painful. All right, so let's give our recommendations for the long weekend. So, Jay Figg, like you might have enough time to watch all of our movies this weekend because it's not going to be Monday till we revisit this segment with you guys. I'm going completely off the beaten path here. Okay, I was fully prepared to recommend one of my top five 4th of July movies to Jay Figg, but I'm making a U-turn here because we had a little conversation off the air, like before the segment started, and I don't know how this even came up, but since Jay Figg is intrigued by but has not watched the movie yet, the movie Parasite, which just won the Academy Award, I watched it a few months ago. I really enjoyed it. So I'm, you know, this is not 4th of July themed whatsoever. I mean, the damn movie takes place in Seoul, South Korea. But I want to know your take on it because Parasite, a very popular movie, very hyped up movie. I believe a very good movie. But I also, getting to know your movie taste a little bit, I'm not sure if this is going to be the type of movie you love, but you might. Well, I'm really not sure. So Jay Figg, I am officially recommending 2020 Best Picture Academy Award winner. Well, I guess it was 2019 technically. I'm recommending Parasite.
The only thing that throws me off are subtitles, and this is full of it, but okay.
I think like it's good enough that after, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, you get used to the subtitles and you kind of forget about it. You just don't make the mistake I made the first time I started watching the movie. I was trying to watch it like while I was eating my lunch. And so if you're like looking down at your food and then looking up at the screen, you're going to miss some subtitles. So make sure you give it your undivided attention.
Yeah, let's remember really Figgy's hard. Attention span. Let's remember her attention span.
It ain't that good.
I'm going with Parasite. Solana, what do you got?
Jay Figg, have you, I can't remember. I think we've talked about this, but have you seen National Treasure?
Yes.
You saw the first National Treasure? And what about the second one, Book of Secrets? National Treasure,
like, I'm not
Book
watching
Secrets.
The third one, okay?
No, well, the third one hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, nobody's watching the third one.
Oh, right. I know.
But the second one, have you seen it, National Treasure, Book of Secrets?
Unfortunately, yes.
Wow, okay. I mean, this throws a huge wrench into my side here, guys. I don't want to go 51st Dates. Is that,
but by the way, Solana, I don't think that's the expression.
That's
a wrench in my side. I think it's
I've
thorn
never
in
heard
my
of
side.
That. I've no. never heard of
that. There's a wrench
in my
side.
Plans or...
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go out on a whim here, and
yeah, okay.
Out on a whim.
Jay Figg, I'm gonna just piggyback on Dono. I want to watch Parasite as well, so I'm gonna give you Parasite, and I also will watch Parasite.
You know, hell, I'm gonna watch it again because I watched it back in March. Like, I watched it right before quarantine started. And I wouldn't mind watching it again, so I might also watch it.
Do we need to make this one of our movie assignments where we all watch Parasite and we report back on a Monday?
Dan, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I love subtitles. I'm one of those weird guys that like...
But remember what you told me yesterday. You don't vouch for movies you have not seen.
That's true. That's true. Figgy's got me. She's outsmarting me once again.
Dan Day, you are kind of a Parasite.
Don't tell him that.
Well, that's part of the thing, though.
You're a Parasite.
With the movie assignment, you don't have to have seen it. You have to... Yeah. It's all about reporting back.
That worked yesterday, but not today.
No, we did
Who
it with
bent the rules. Here?
No. The what is it? The Wrong Missing? No, we hadn't all seen it,
right?
And we agreed to watch it and report back on Monday,
right?
Yes.
Ew. So Parasite.
So is it unanimous?
Unanimous.
You
did that yesterday, though.
Unanimous.
Yep.
Ugh.
And it worked. You watch Blues Brothers. But you know what, Jay Figg, I can almost guarantee you, all because I never know with you, but I'll say almost guarantee you that you're gonna like this a lot better than you liked Blues Brothers.
I pray to God.
And this is one of those movies. Like, I would recommend I don't know how much you know about the movie, but I would actually recommend just going in not having any idea what it's about, because that's the way I went in. Like, people were talking about this movie. This was right, like, I watched it maybe the week after it won the Oscar, and people were talking about this movie and hyping it up, and I didn't even look up what it was about. I just said, let me watch Parasite, right? I ordered it, like, on the, this was before it even hit Hulu. I ordered it on the pay-per-view. And some of the most enjoyable movies to me, like I watched a couple years ago, I watched Crazy Rich Asians in the theater. I had no idea what it was about. No, I had never even heard of it, really enjoyed it. Parasite, same thing. Just go in completely blind. I think you'll enjoy it. So there we have it. A unanimous suggestion. Jay Figg, are you ready to
see? I wanted to see Crazy Rich Asians.
That you'll love. That'll be for another assignment. I'll assign that later.
Yeah,
I'll assign that later.
Can I get out of it, please?
Nope. Parasite, we're locked in. Are you ready to accept your assignment?
I guess.
Oh, that said, I guess there's nothing left to say, but
we'll see you at the movies.
There's a lot of excitement going on.
I was not expecting that to become unanimous. All right, Jay Figg, enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Are you setting off any fireworks by the pool?
Possibly not. I'm the only firework.
Possibly not. Well said.
If someone frustrates me, that'll happen.
Okay, Katy Perry.
Coming up next on the Hawk and Crowder Show.
If you're a bird, I'm a bird.
Dono and Solana with you. Birthdays today. Dan Day mentioned Alex Morgan.
She turned
31 today.
There's some other hot messes. We've got Ashley Tisdale and Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Ashley Tisdale, she's not on the show sheet. But yeah, Lindsay Lohan, it's her birthday today. I don't think you would consider this woman a hot mess, but, you know, she's hot. Margot Robbie is 30 today. So happy birthday to her. I don't think she qualifies as a mess, but I love her. And you know, a couple of sports birthdays today as well. Chad Henne is 35.
Yeah,
that's weird. Like, thinking of Chad Henne being 35, that he's my same age, but I don't know. It's weird. It makes me feel old knowing that Chad Henne is 35.
Dono, my favorite Dolphins quarterback of all time, Tua Tagovailoa. Quickly, I'm sure will surpass Chad Henne in my heart. But this is a true story. The last jersey I ever bought. And still, the only Dolphins jersey I still own that fits me is a Chad Henne number 7 jersey. And it's the only one. I refuse to buy one since I bought that one. I'll buy a 2 one eventually, but that's still the last Dolphins jersey I've purchased and still the only one that fits me that I own.
Hey, Chad Henne is the Back to the Future Part 3 of quarterbacks. Like, I mean, you're completely urinating on the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise by saying Chad Henne is your favorite Dolphins quarterback. And I understand that you're how old are you, Solana? So you didn't grow up watching Dan Marino. I get that.
Right. I'm 26 years old. Dan Marino retired when I was, what, 5, 6 years old? I love me some Danny Marino. Don't get me wrong. 13 for life. But let's be honest, Dono, I didn't appreciate the Dan Marino years. So how could I truly love him the way that you love him growing up? I can't. And Chad Henne was supposed to be the next big quarterback here in Miami, and he stole my heart. I got to be honest, you know, number 7 stole my heart. That's Super Bowl champion Chad Henne, by the way.
I'm thinking about this, like, for anyone, because obviously I grew up on the Marino era, and I actually, like, missed the first couple of years because I was born in 84, so I didn't really start appreciating Marino till like, the late 80s or whatever. So even I missed part of it, but for somebody Solana's age, like mid-20s, if you didn't live through the Dan Marino era, who would your favorite Dolphins quarterback be? I mean, do you have fond memories of Jay Fiedler, or were you kind of too young to enjoy that as well? Because, I mean, Jay Fiedler was not terrible. Like, I think he was better than Chad Henne. At least Jay Fiedler won a playoff game.
Yeah, but I think my fondest memory of Jay Fiedler is watching him get torched by the damn Baltimore Ravens in 2002. Like,
yeah,
that's my lasting memory of Jay Fiedler, I think. And, I mean, Chad Pennington, only really around for one season, also got torched by the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs and missed me with the Ryan Tannehill nonsense. I mean, 7 years of mediocrity and never won a playoff game. So Chad Henne, underwhelming career here in Miami, but also a nice guy. Nice guy. I love him.
Oh, man. Well, that'll do it for us. We're going to have a magnificent best of Hawk and Crowder tomorrow. So I hope everyone enjoys their 4th of July weekend. Be safe, be responsible, but have a great time, because I know I'm going to enjoy knocking down some funky Buddha brews and watching some movies.
Yes.
Huge thanks to Stefano Fusaro for joining us today. Big thanks to Jay Figg, to Dan Day. For Solana, I'm Dono. We'll talk to you guys Monday.
America, we got this. Freedom.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
You need to need
that's all, folks.
You need to need.
Oh no!
Oh oh oh! O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.